Welcome to Blind Cool Tech. This is show number 6, June 10th, 2005. What we're going to do today is interview the software developers in the Department of Educational Research. The Department of Educational Research actually has several divisions. This is the technology division, software and hardware. I'm the project leader for that division, and we have 6 other developers that work here. I'd like to go through and have them introduce themselves to you and tell you a little bit about themselves and what kind of work they're doing. I'll warn you ahead of time, there's 2 of them that we can't talk about the project that they're working on yet, but we'll have them introduce themselves anyway. In a later show, I'd like to interview some of the other project leaders in the Department of Educational Research. These are areas like Braille, Low Vision, Adult Life, Tactographics, etc. I'll start with myself. I'm Larry Skutkan. I've been working here since 1985, on and off. I started a little company called MicroTalk and wrote some programs for the Apple, and that's how the people at APH actually became aware of me. And I left APH back in 92 and worked on ASAP, a screen reader for DOS, and ASAW, a screen reader for Windows, and was actually persuaded to come back in 98. And obviously, I'm very glad I did. I'm still here in 2005 and loving it. just to tell you a little bit about our department, we work on educational software in several different areas. We have tutorials like Talking Typer and Verbal View of Windows XP. We also have games, and we have utility programs. And as we go through and meet each developer, I'd like to get them to discuss the kinds of software that they've worked on, and they'll tell you a little bit more about it at that point. So, one of the guys that's been working here the longest is Rob Meredith. You want to introduce yourself, Rob? I must have stepped down. So we're all in a big area here. One of these days we want to get individual offices, but for right now, we're all in a big area. And right over here is Mario Island, who, well, Mario, you want to introduce yourself?
As Larry said, my name is Mario Island, and I work in Visual Basic 6, creating educational software games. Right now we're working on one that's called Tootle Tiles. Basically it's a game of tiles where you're supposed to match to the similar tiles. I've also created a Talking Puzzles software program, and that's it.
Well, and you also worked on the Braille translation software.
Oh, yes. I worked on Braille translation software and also on a Spanish module for the book part.
Yeah, Mario is originally from Colombia and is quite fluent in Spanish. You started here, what, in 2000, Mario?
Yes, 2000. Started working with your division, but I was here since 98 at the APH.
That's right. You were working for
Christine Anderson.
Yeah.
And that's where I worked with the Fresnet database.
Okay.
Where Roger and I started working on that together, and that's how we came together.
Sure.
Probably a good segue to introduce him.
Except I wanted to mention that this Tootle Tiles, both these guys are working on this program, and it's probably by the time you hear this, it'll be available on our beta page at aph.org/beta. And the Talking Puzzles is Talking Word Puzzles is already available on our demo page at aph.org/tech. And okay, well, thank you, Mario.
Thank you.
And next to Mario sits Roger Smith, who, well, Roger, would you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Roger Smith. I've been working for Larry for the last 5 years. I've been working here at the printing house for about 10 years. I originally started in the computer room as the night operator and moved from there to Fred's Head. That's where I met Mario. That's when we worked together on that project. And from there, I moved over here to Larry's section, and that's where I've been ever since. Projects that I've worked on have been HTML projects, quite a few different ones for our books that we have and our manuals and such as that. Also worked on Tuttle Tiles and Termite Torpedo and Armadillo Army. These are the games, some of them Mario had already mentioned. These are games that are for low vision and blind kids as well as adults. They're pretty neat, I think. And just a variety of different things to kind of help out where I can. I'm sighted, so it does kind of help with the blind programmers as far as what they are seeing on the screen, or what I'm seeing on the screen, I should say, and able to help them better program. So it's been real interesting. It's very enjoyable. Good bunch of people to work with.
All right. Well, thank you, Raj.
All right.
And next we have Mike McDonald. Mike's our newest member. He's actually only been here a couple of weeks. You want to introduce yourself, Mike?
I'm Mike McDonald. As Larry said, I've been here about, this is the end of my third week. I'm working on a Linux project right now, trying to learn Linux and how to cross-compile for embedded Linux machines.
And Mike, tell us a little bit about your background.
My background, after I got out of college, has been in programming for CAD systems. I wrote software to run CAM systems to control routers and plasma cutters. Then recently, I've been in a little bit of web development, and I taught at ITT before I came here.
Okay, and we hope to have Mike around for a long time to work on lots of cool stuff. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
And then, on down, further down the hall here, we have John Hedges. And John's been here. Well, I'll let John introduce himself to you and talk about what kind of stuff he's been working on.
Yes, I'm John Hedges. I've been here at APH for over 12 years. Worked on a number of projects. The most recent release has been Teacher's Pet, and that's a really neat program that allows you to do test and drill type of presentations, great content, and really good for both auditory and large print low vision readers.
Yeah, it's actually a very exciting program. It's one of a kind. Even the person creating the content can be visually impaired, so it works for both the person taking the drills and tests or the person creating them, and you can do, well, multimedia, sounds, graphics, and supports. So, well, you want to tell them what kind of questions it supports?
It supports a variety of types, not only fill in the blank, true, false, but also multiple choice and matching and essay. And it will also do grading, except for the essay types.
But, we haven't got that far yet.
But it does allow for record keeping and helps automate some of the work that a teacher would do.
Okay, and you also have written some other stuff in the past and are working on some new stuff now. You want to tell us about that?
Learn Keys was one of my early projects that were still selling under Windows. And it allows you to explore the keyboard and get auditory and visual feedback. For a new computer user, they can get familiar with their keyboard environment. Right now, I'm learning C#, and we're looking to implement a number of current projects on the drawing board in the new .NET environment using C#.
And I guess, John, currently, I guess we can talk about this. John's working on?
Working on O&M Family Booklet, which is going to be a product that will allow those who teach O&M to better communicate with their families, the students. It will provide a variety of ways to automate the information about orientation and mobility and what it is and what the students' needs and visual conditions are, and provide that information in a form of a booklet, kind of condensed way to allow the parents and those involved to know exactly what the training is about and what the training expectations are.
Right. And John is our only low vision programmer here too, so he does most of the QC on how our stuff works in a low vision mode or environment, and evaluates other products that we may be considering to offer for low vision users. And there's probably more.
Well, I'm also a Zoom Text user, and found that to be fairly helpful. So if there's any kind of low vision issues with use of our products, I try to make sure those are addressed. And also get the fun job of working with our software distribution. So in general, you wonder how products get installed in your computer. I help with that also.
Yep, John's hands are in every one of them. So if they don't work, blame him. Just kidding. Okay, and then around the corner from John, we have two of our developers, Keith Creasy and Mark Clare, and we'll start with Keith. You want to introduce yourself, Keith?
Sure. I'm Keith Creasy. I'm in my seventh year here.
And you may not know Keith's name, but I'll bet you know some of the stuff he's worked on, because he actually is the author of our most popular program, which would be
Talking Typer for Windows.
And Keith's actually done a little bit of groundwork on a new version of that we can't really go into too much details about, but suffice it to say, it'll be pretty exciting. And I guess the most exciting thing that Keith's working on, although I'm sure he's sick of it, as many of us get when a project gets to be a few years old, is BookWizard Reader and BookWizard Producer. You want to tell us the scoop on those?
For years, the Library of Congress, National Library Service, and other libraries around the world have produced audiobooks for people that can't or have difficulty reading printed books. And, they've evolved just like all media has, from the old days of wax cylinders and vinyl records onto cassette tapes to now digital content. And the specification and all the methods for producing these books digitally has only in the last decade or so begun to be developed and begun to have a life of its own. In fact, the National Library Service here in the U.S. has just now begun to migrate their books from the old analog tapes to digital content, with the idea that they're going to begin distributing those in 2008. APH has, for the last 4 years, been working with the DAISY Consortium, which is the worldwide organization that's working on the development of the digital books, sometimes called DTBs or digital talking books. And, you know, we've been involved in that, been involved in the development of the specification itself and the software that's used to both produce the books and play the books. And that's the software I've been working on. And it's being used right now to produce books, and we've even distributed a few books of our own that APH has published. And one thing that has kept me on this project for so long is, well, two things. First of all, the spec itself is still evolving and still changing. DAISY 2 came out about 5 or 6 years ago. Now there's a new one called DAISY 3, or some people call it Z or Z3986, and that was a version in 2002, and now there's a 2005 version. Each one is an improvement in the one before it, and as they develop, then the software, of course, has to be updated to support the new format for the books. It's really exciting because the digital books allow readers to do a lot of things that they really couldn't do with books on tape or books on record, such things as being able to go to a specific page with a command, to move from chapter to chapter easily, to search through the text of a book if the text is available. Just a much simpler way of getting around a book than you could with the old cassettes and the records and so forth.
And obviously by the names, the Book Wizard Reader is the software that one would use on their PC to read books that were in digital talking book format. But what's really exciting to us at APH is the other program that Keith's working on, Book Wizard Producer. This actually allows us to create the books that we record in the digital talking book format and to do a lot of neat things with them in terms of how we want to present the structure of the book, and where the page numbers and sidebars and so forth are. It's really, really exciting stuff, but it's also, when you're down on the level that Keith's at, it's also very complicated. And, you know, you can always tell when a program or anything is a good one is when it makes a very complicated issue look simple to the user. And that's what Keith has been able to do with Book Wizard Producer, because these people in the studio are not engineers, they're not geeks, they're narrators, you know, they're hired for their English abilities, not their technical skills. And this software allows them to have a visual representation of the structure of the book and be able to mark it up in a way that's best suited for the particular book. We do it different for novels, for instance, versus cookbooks. We're working on a book right now that's very involved with pages and lots of footnotes.
Yeah, but it's really exciting once you see it happen, you know, and you get this book from downstairs and it's got, like, this cookbook is the most complicated one we've done so far, and, you know, it's pretty neat to sit there and load that in and play it, and you can have it either skip the recipes or play the recipes. If you want to skip them, you can just listen to the text, because a lot of this book is just basically sort of entertaining. It's anecdotes and
or you
stories.
Can move just from recipe to recipe if right. That's the way you want to do it. It's how you choose to.
If you just want to browse through the recipes, you can do that. And it's pretty cool. Or if it refers to a recipe on page 107, you can just go to page 107 and find it very easily. Yeah, and it's pretty neat. And you have to hand it to the people downstairs. They've been pretty brave.
In the last
6 years, they've gone from really only having to know how to operate a tape deck to using a computer, and some of them really hadn't used a computer that much, before that. They've dove into it, and it's looking really good. I'm really pleased with it.
And they have been some excellent testers for us for this software. There's situations they've come up with we would have never conceived.
Well, you never really know until you actually put it in the hands of people that have never seen it before.
Exactly.
What's going to happen? That's an important part of it.
Anything else you want to say, Keith, about the software, or just you, or your anything?
No.
not really.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
All right. Yes.
And next to Keith, busily pounding away on his keyboard here, is Mark Clarer. You want to introduce yourself, Mark?
Hello, Mark Clarer. Been here for about 5 years. I'm working on some Linux projects and looking at some embedded computers that use Linux.
And Mark, you've been in this department for what, about a year, year and a half now?
Right, for about a year.
And before that, you were working in resource services doing what?
That's right. Doing some document conversions from Quark to Word, mostly. Writing programs for that. Doing some Unix administration for the web server and our internal Unix web server.
And also did a good bit of work on Money Talks.
That's right.
When I first got here. Yeah.
Worked on the middle part of Money Talks and also did some cleanup work on the large print project. It's a SQL 3-tiered app. That was fun.
That sounded very fun to me.
Visual Basic.
All right. Thanks, Mark. And so as you can see, everybody, there's a lot of projects going on in a lot of different areas. And I think we missed Rob, so we'll interview him now. Rob's probably been here longer than anybody. This is he's running away.
He just ran out.
You want to introduce yourself, Rob? Come back.
Hi, I'm Rob Meredith here at APH. I've been here for about 17 years. And my primary recent projects that most people would be familiar with include MathFlash, Bookport and Bookport Transfer, Money Talks, and Studio Recorder. But I've gotten to do some other things along the way, like deal with some of the audio component and audio creation issues. So I worked on the component that lets all of our software record and play audio, as well as developed some sounds for various projects and did some audio editing for various projects as well. So I guess I'm the primary audio guy in our area.
Oh, definitely. You want to tell us about these programs for people that don't know about them?
Well, MathFlash is my oldest modern product. It's a math drill and practice flashcard type program that puts up either randomly generated or previously entered math problems for students to practice with. And it has a variety of reinforcement positive and negative sounds and actual spoken phrases as well to encourage the student. Bookport Transfer is the program that lets you send files to your bookport. And it uses, Bookport Transfer is probably one of the most synergistic products we have because it uses a variety of all of our technologies to accomplish its goals. For example, it uses our audio engine to deal with sending MP3 files, to handle phrase detection, to handle the time compression when you decide to make it play faster on the bookport than it is in real time. It also uses BookWizard Reader to manage sending digital talking books to the bookport. And it uses Microsoft Word to handle decoding Word files. And it uses some software that we developed with our contractor for this project as well. So it's very, uses a lot of our technology. It's probably one of our largest products in that area. And the bookport, for anybody who missed it, is a portable reading device that lets you load text or audio books into it and take them wherever you want. Studio Recorder is the program that the recording studio uses to get all of their narration into a digital form. We have totally moved away from analog recording as of a few years ago. And we started testing Studio Recorder in the studio in early 2000 and made improvements to make it meet our in-house needs. And then we brought it to market in September 2002. And it continues to evolve. In fact, I'm working a little bit on that right now. And finally, Money Talks is my most recent project. It's probably going to come out, what, a month or so?
Hopefully less than a month. Hopefully less by the summer month. Conferences.
And it's a checkbook management program that that's very accessible and helps you keep track of your finances from the the checkbook side of things. And it incorporates both self-voicing and support for your screen reader as well.
A lot of nice low-vision features in there, too.
Yeah, you can change the font size, you can change the column widths, all from the keyboard or by mouse if you prefer.
Or even eliminate columns from the register from showing up on the screen. Yeah, really, it's nice.
Real flexible that way. So those are my four widely diversified products.
And okay, fantastic.
Great.
Thank you, Rob. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about your background or anything?
No, I think we're okay.
Okay. I should also mention that just about everybody here, Roger, Keith, John, Rob, especially, do a lot of work on the verbal view titles. Even as we talk right now, we only have one that's available for sale, which is Verbal View of Windows XP, but there are two more just about to come out and a few more after that in the works. And since they're full text, full audio digital talking books, their production is somewhat involved. And it gets a little simpler each one we do, but there, no doubt there's a lot involved with that. Okay, well, this has been a real brief introduction to the people behind the scenes at in APH, in the educational department, in technology. And that's it for show number 6 of Blind Cool Tech. We're temporarily or maybe permanently at www.aph.org/tech/bct.htm, and there's a link there if you want to subscribe to the podcast. I'm Larry Skukan. Thank you.